So I want to teach tonight on one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Guys, in the back, I thought about this after I had already sent my notes. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you guys could get it up here, that would be awesome. And then I'll take it from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and start with verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of... Thank you.
There's a bunch of different tabs.
Well, you can teach me. Thank you. Thank you, though. You know, these young people, man, it's just like so easy to them. You know what? Megan's just like, oh, you know what I mean? It's like, what? Can you write it down, honey? Because I ain't going to. Okay, so where was I? Oh, verse 20. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Oh, check that out. See, I'm going to know some people are too smart for God. I was listening. They discovered did you read this? They discovered some molecule that was one of the first molecules after the Big Bang. And this lady's all talking about, like, you know, she's so smart. And what I recognize is, oh, my goodness. People can't, you know, and most people, they want to be so skinny jeans, they just are going to be, like, smart with her. But when I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, you know what, you don't even know what you're talking. Well, I thought, you're acting like you know. But you know what this, true story, you know what this molecule is showing them? As far as the Big Bang? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And she even said it. She said this. I wish I could remember this molecule that they found, she even in the middle of her, you know, in her saying, they get me so frustrated because they try to act so wise. But in the middle of the thing, she says, this actually isn't any of the molecules that were in existence when the Big Bang happened. All those molecules are gone. And I thought, lady, you haven't found nothing out. Do you see it? Look at this. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Listen, I believe, listen to me very carefully, I believe in walking in wisdom and trying to be thoughtful in how you approach people in teaching and preaching the gospel. I totally believe in that. But be careful that you don't think that you're going to convince somebody in their brain logically that Jesus exists. Because it ain't going to happen. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach, here, let's stop there. How many know, what more signs are you going to have than Jesus coming, you know what? From Bethlehem. Here, that's just one of hundreds that Jesus fulfilled. Here, how about this? Jesus walks on water. You think that ought to recognize this is the Messiah? Raises people from the dead? Hangs on the cross like prophetically was told? And yet, you know what? There were and there still are thousands, hundreds and thousands of people who are looking at the Messiah and they can't see it in Jesus. Wow. The Jews request a sign. Oh my God, do you see that? Oh, that's what I wanted to share with you. You want a sign? Jesus' biggest sign in the world. Amen? You're going to request a sign. But you know, the truth is, because you have a hard heart, you ain't going to believe no matter what. Do you understand? We could turn the water into wine and you're still not going to believe. Amen? I mean, if somebody says, well, you know what? If God knocked me off a horse like he did Saul, you know what? Then I'd believe. I'm like, are you kidding? You know what? How many of us haven't had knocking off our donkey experiences? Amen? We've had those experiences. But God is looking for people who have soft hearts. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Greek and Jew, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the listen to this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26. For you seek your calling, brethren, that not many, for you see your calling, brethren, watch this, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the mighty, the things which are mighty. You said, Pastor, I'm not that smart and I'm not that strong. Praise God, you can apply. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? So I wanted to show you that passage as just an opening because I want to show you quickly. I don't know if we'll get done with it tonight, but I want to show you quickly four specific reasons why God used Peter in this story to do something supernatural. It wasn't because he was so smart. It wasn't because he was so wise. But there are some things, and these things are important because I believe that for many of us, I believe that for you, I want to do everything I can to raise Peter up to be a strong leader. To raise, you know what, Richard up to be a strong leader. To raise George up to be a strong leader. To raise, you know what, Angel up to be a strong leader. To raise, you know what, Connie up. And I could go on and on. See, what I want is I need, you know what, I'm recruiting you. And I've told you this before, but it's so strong in my heart. Stop thinking I can't. I'm just this. No. God, he is very efficient in what he's doing, and he's recruiting every single one of you. You've got a leadership role to play in the part of what God is doing at this church. Amen. 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 And so I wanted you to say, oh, well, that was the apostle. That was Jesus. That was, you know what? The Bible says, why, you know what? At one point in time, Paul says to people, he says, why are you acting like mere men? Amen. But I want to show you practical things. I want to give you specific things that Peter was doing to align himself. You know how many athletes are completely have the eye-hand coordination to be in the NFL, to be in the NBA? You know what? And yet, because they haven't positioned themselves, they weren't disciplined with their schooling. They weren't disciplined with their eating habits. They weren't disciplined with their just getting up in the morning and their workouts. And those same people could be in the NBA, in all kinds of, you know, professional, but they're not. Instead, they're, you know what, they're working at you know, some 7-Eleven. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying anything's wrong working at the 7-Eleven, but what I am saying is that God wants us to fulfill what we're called to do. And so, you know what? And so I'm preaching this to you that you will take notes and recognize, wait a minute. This is not just coincidence. This is not just, he wasn't just lucky. He wasn't just in the right place at the right time. You know, it's not just, you know what? Is it? No. He was doing four things very strategic that enabled him to be able to do what he was doing. Amen. So, Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from, oh, I'm sorry, and a certain lame, thank you, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate beautiful, called Beautiful, to ask alms to those who entered the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but that which I give you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. So he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the gate beautiful of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow, what a great story. What was he doing? Why in the world, what were the four things specifically he did? Well, one, look, notice this. Look at where they're going. Where are they going? They were going to the temple. What were they going to the temple for? Yeah, to pray. It was the hour, somebody say the hour of prayer. I'm going to teach this pretty soon because God is just dumping this in my heart. Man, look at your neighbor and say, we have got to pray. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, that if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand. Set your things above. Set your mind on things above, not the things of this earth. We are in such a society of the media, the social media, and the iPod and the iPad and the programming and all this stuff. And all this does, you say, Pastor, what, you know what, you don't want me to watch TV? No, I don't mind if you watch TV. Just don't watch anything on TV. Huh? There's nothing wrong with the TV. Just all the programming on the TV. That's the problem. Why is this such a problem? Because it's just, listen, it just pulls you. You're watching, it just is. Make sure I can do that. But you understand, it's just dragging you backwards, right? Right. No. Turn it off. Set your mind on the thing. You know what? I pray every single day. And what I've gotten in a habit, I just pray every single day. And what I got a habit to do right now, and I'm not saying this, I'm saying this to be an example to you. You know what? I'm just praying more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And you know what? You say, Pastor, how do you do that? You know what? Well, I pray in the Spirit. Well, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. Well, then you're going to have to take a bunch of your Bible and rip it up. Because the Apostle Paul. No, Pastor, I think we just got to stick with Jesus. Well, read what Jesus said. Jesus said one of the last things he said? He said, you know what? That those who believe are going to speak with new tongues. Amen. Amen? And I get up early in the morning and I just pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And at some point in time, man, I just get happy. Amen. Amen. I could do this for hours and hours. And you know what? I can't do it for hours and hours. Because I got stuff I got to do, but I get up early and I just pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues and pray in tongues. Why don't you pray in English? I do pray in English. And just so you know, the Holy Spirit has put this on our heart. I'm praying for you now, every single day. Amen? Amen. I will soon, share the scripture that I'm praying over you. One of the scriptures that I pray over you is no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? Amen? But I'm praying for you. And I do that specifically in English. But why do you pray in tongues so much? Here's why. Because the Bible says, when I pray, my spirit prays. Wow. Here, let me give you a test real quick, okay? It's deep. Who's smarter, your head or your spirit?
Your spirit.
My wife's not here, so don't tell her. I say this jokingly. I don't mind if you all tell her this. You know why I like to drive? Because I think I'm a better driver than she is. See, some of you ladies, you're like, watch it, watch it, watch it, dude. I didn't say, listen, don't take it out of context. I didn't say men are better drivers than women. Did I say that? I just said I'm better driver than she is. Has nothing to do with, you know what, I just think I'm a better driver than her. Okay, exactly. You know what the truth is? We could probably test. She'd probably be a better driver than I am. But I think I'm a better driver than her. Here's what I know. I know God is smarter than me. I know that. I don't think that. I know that. So I'm going to defer. I'm going to defer to the Spirit. Amen. 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 And just remember what Paul said. Paul said, don't forbid anybody not to speak in tongues. I'm just telling you what he said. He also said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Amen. Amen. So you got to set your, what's what they're doing? They're going, and they're very conscious to, they're going to the hour of prayer. They're going to pray. Just so you know what? We pray at 7:30 in the morning Sunday, from 7:30 to 8 o'clock every single Sunday. Amen. Amen. You want to make a big difference? Start coming to morning prayer. Amen. 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 There's a lot of, I heard a preacher today, or this week, say this. There are two kind of churches. Churches that pray and churches that don't. I want to be a church that prays. Amen. Amen. So number one, they're praying. They're what does prayer do? Prayer is it tunes you in to the spiritual realm. Number one, they're praying. Number two, they realize what he does have. Well, that's not good English, but they recognize what they have. Remember, I preached this recently, you know what, that you have it in the house. Amen? That one lady that had, you know what? That one lady that had, she said, all I have is enough for me and my son. We're going to eat this little bit, and now I'm going to die. Totally broke, totally poor, totally in a drought. But she had the very thing that she needed in her house. See, so many of us are so busy looking at what we don't have that we can't see what we do have. Amen. Amen. I had somebody come, I'll give you two examples real quick. Connie, you know what, was in the church for I don't know how many months. I think maybe even years. And, she's a gracious lady. Amen. You know what? She don't walk around with an ego and any of that. No. She's gracious, right? One time she told me, she said, very graciously, I sing a little bit. I'm like, man, I didn't know that. And she is one of the most beautiful. She harmonizes so beautifully. I mean, so beautifully. What I'm saying is she was in the house. Amen. See, sometimes we're so looking for, I had another person. I'm just minding my own business. I'm just walking down this aisle, and this gentleman says, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" I say, "Absolutely." He says, "You know what? I don't know if you need this, but every other Friday, I'm able to get it off. I could come down here and help you." And I happen to know, praise God, listen, we appreciate anyone who comes to help, amen? Amen. But how many know some people have a good skill set, amen? Yeah. Amen? And this man I know has a good skill set. I'm all like, yeah, bring it on, amen? What I'm saying is we have so much, right here, and they recognize silver and gold we don't have, but we got something. Amen. So many people are so focused on what they don't have that God can't use them because they don't recognize what they do have. They're so busy trying to be humble. Oh, I just want to be humble. I just want to be. Can I teach about humility? Humility is not you not noticing the gifting that God has put in your heart. That's not humility. Can I tell you what that really is? It's really self-centeredness. That's what it really is. They recognize they got something. Silver and gold we don't have. But that which we do, but we got something for you. Amen? Amen? Number one, they were praying people. They were getting their eyes connected with the things of God. Number two, that helped them recognize, I got something to give this guy. We recognize, man, let me tell you what, Hope is an awesome church. We ought to be inviting everybody. Amen. You ought to be. We got it going. We got going on at our church. Amen. Come on, somebody. We got it going on in our church. Amen. 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 Not in a braggadocious way, but in a confident way to say, hey, listen, the messages are consistently, anointed and helpful, and and I'm telling you, the worship is good, and the spirit is right, and come on, man, we got it going on. And you know what, we got it going on, not because of me and Tamara, we got it going on because we got it going on. Amen. I hope that doesn't come off arrogant, but I'm telling you what, this is an awesome church, and we have awesome things, and we have to recognize that. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift that God, which he's given you through the laying on of hands. Stir this thing up that's inside of us. Watch this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, a sound mind. They recognize we got some power going on inside of us. It's inside them. Amen. Does that make sense? Number three, you know what they did? They believed. Remember what the Bible says? Seizing him by the hand. You know what? Peter lifts him up. Well, yeah, but what if this guy falls on his face? True story. Want to hear a true story? I was telling some of my pastor friends, you know what, that in our church, we tell people to bring the tithe into the storehouse. Why do we tell them that? Because the Bible says that the tenth will bless, that the ten giving first will bless the 90. The ten, somebody say, the 10 blesses the 90. We believe that a responsible pastor tells people that. Not in, oh, I don't want you to get mad, because you'll think, listen, you want to think what you want. But let me tell you why I'm going to tell you about the tithe, because I know the 10 will bless the 90. Amen. So I'm going to be responsible to tell you that. Amen? Amen. So I was telling these four pastors this, and they said, true story, they said this, well, Pastor, what do you do if you tell people that and it doesn't work? They said, what if you tell people that and it doesn't work? And they try it and then it doesn't work. Or, you know, they said, are you willing to refund them their money? Now, let me tell you this. Yeah, that good point. It ain't your money anyway. But let me just tell you this. Listen, I got the Bible on it. Amen. See, the Bible says, you know what? God says, try me in this and see if I won't, you know what, bless you. Try it. Just try it. Let me just tell you what. If anybody came up to me and said, you know what, Pastor, I've been tithing for the last 2 months. It doesn't work. Can I have my money back? You know what? I would probably, you know what, go to Maryland and figure out a way to refund them their money. I really probably would. But here's the thing. Listen to me. Here's the thing. True story. I thought, dude, that never even crossed my mind. The only thing that ever crossed my mind is if they continue to steal the tithe from God, they are putting themselves in a bad position. That's the only thing that ever crossed my mind. You know what the Bible says? Jesus says, Jesus, y'all believe Jesus? Oh, yeah. Jesus says, assuredly I say to you that anyone who speaks to this mountain, calls it into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart will receive the very thing that he says. And I know a lot of people just think that's craziness. But you know what? I see it happening. Listen, is it coincidence that these guys are in prayer? Is it coincidence that they recognize they have something to give? And is it coincidence that they have a willingness to, before they see, faith? You know what the Bible says? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. They have the belief that I'm gonna seize him by the hand. This guy's sitting there, and Peter seizes him by the hand and lifts, the Bible says, lifts him up. Doesn't say his ankles, well, it says his ankles were immediately, you know what, strengthened. Immediately when? Look at the sequence. Immediately when? Immediately after he lifted him up, immediately, that's when. Not before. Is this making sense to anybody? And my last point, and then I'm going to dismiss you to get some tacos. Look at your neighbor and say, everybody getting a taco tonight. And then you know what they did, and I love this. They recognize, they see an even greater opportunity. Now, what's the greater opportunity? Come on, somebody. Look at it. Look at it in your Bible. What's the greater opportunity? Come on. Think of the story. What's the greater opportunity? Actually, I need to. You don't know because I didn't read you that part. Sorry. If you look for a perfect pastor, you have not found it. Okay, watch this. I'll show you the greater opportunity. Verse 10. Then they knew that what it was that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement what had happened. Now, as the lame man who was healed, verse 11, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them, and the porch, which is called Solomon's porch, greatly amazed. So then Peter saw it. He responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or goodliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Wow. I mean, Pilate wanted to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witness. We saw it ourselves. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did not do that. You did it in ignorance, as also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted of your sins. May your sins be blotted out, so that times of refreshing might come in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Now you tell me. They recognized a greater opportunity. What was the greater opportunity? What was the greater opportunity? What was the greater opportunity? To preach the gospel, amen? They sit there, this guy is hanging on them. This guy's like, "Oh, Peter, John." He's holding, the Bible says he's holding on to them. He's so happy. He's jumping and leaping, but he's hanging on. He's hanging on. Oh, whoa, look what happened. Whoa. And they're recognizing, oh my goodness, all these people, they know who he is. They recognize, oh my goodness, that's the guy who used to always beg. We saw him. We saw his family carry him out every single morning. That's the guy, and he's jumping and shouting. And then what does Peter do? He recognizes a greater opportunity. The greater opportunity is not only to get this guy healed, not only to change one person's life, but to change hundreds and thousands of people's life through the testimony that God is real. Amen. Listen, I praise God for healing. I pray for people for healing. I thank God for healing. But can I tell you what? The biggest miracle of all is when somebody comes into the family of God. Amen. We've got to look for those opportunities. We've got to recognize God changed our life that we could tell somebody else, "Hey, my marriage was going down. I was about to get a divorce." You know what? What David shared with us last week. Sunday. What a great testimony. He told me, he said, "You know what, Pastor? If it wasn't for the gospel that is preached at this church, I would probably be dead." Amen. The doctors told him, "You better change your lifestyle or you want to die." They told him that. See, listen, praise God for the healing power of God. But listen, you know what? I testify. You know what? There was days, a long, 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 long time that I get up and my back was so jacked up that my wife saw me walking down the hall and she said, you know what, why are you acting like an old man? You know, sometimes I'll clown around, you know what I mean? Sometimes I'll be carrying, you've probably seen this, Angel. I'll be carrying a plate of food and I'll be get close to Angel and I'll go, whoa! And I just trip myself. I'm not going to fall on him, right? Then he gets a whoo-hoo-hoo. And my wife knows I do clowny stuff like that all the time. So, you know, I'm walking down the hall, but I'm actually, my back is so jacked up. She said, why are you walking? She thinks I'm goofing around. Why are you walking like an old man? I'd already been believing God, speaking his word over my life, saying by his stripes, laying hands on the sick. You know what? I got hands. I'm sick. I'm going to lay my hands on my own self. Amen. And I lay my hands on the sick and I declare that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Why I tell that story? Because I tell you what, one day I got up, you know what? And I don't even know what time it was, 3 or 4 o'clock. You know, I recognize, hey, my back is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. How did that happen? You know what? God, that's how it happened. Why do I tell that story? Because I want to testify in the goodness of God. I mean, is it good that I walk in healing? Yes, absolutely. Is it good that I don't walk like an old man and my back doesn't hurt all the time? Absolutely. But what is the point? The point is not just that I would get, not that I just would feel good, but that I could preach the gospel to you. And let me tell you what, God wants to affect every single area of your life. He doesn't just want to get you saved. Matter of fact, saved means healed, delivered, set free. Amen. He recognized there's a great opportunity we have, and you have a testimony. One of my testimonies is God healed my back. What's your testimony? Has God delivered your marriage? Has God set your kids free from drugs? Has God set them out of, you know, I don't know what your testimony. Here's what I know for a fact, that God has changed your life in some way, just like he's changed my life in some way. Recognize the opportunity. Preach the gospel. Do it in season and out. Be ready in season and out of season. You know what? Wake up every single day and you're just ready. What we saw Sunday is we have opportunity. We have to seize those opportunities. Oh, these guys were so lucky. No, these guys were focused on setting their minds right. They understood what they had. They were willing to walk in faith. You know what? And what they did is they recognized the opportunities that they had right in front of them. Amen. How many recognize God has some opportunities for you? Amen. How many recognize God has some opportunities for us? How many know we can get some things done? Amen. We can get some things done. God has called us. Oh, Pastor, you're just a pastor. So you get it. No, 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 no. This is not for just pastors. This is not for just deacons. This is not just for elders. This is for every single one of us. It's not just for the worship team. It's, you know what? Red, yellow, black, and white. That's who it's for. Tall, short. Amen. Stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet. If something is said has been blessing you, if you say, Pastor, this message was for me, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray over you. Father, I pray that this message would be seared in our spirits. I pray that, God, you are raising up leaders to worship you, leaders to praise you, leaders to lay hands on people that are sick and seeing supernatural things, and leaders to preach the gospel. Maybe have a willingness to turn off that which so distracts us and to pray and set our minds on the things above. God, help us in every single way. Father, we thank you in advance for camp. Come on, somebody. We thank you for advance, for camp. Amen. Let me say this. Talked to a young man this week. Was having lunch with the young man this week. He said, you know what? He was talking about the Spirit moving. And he said, you know what? And he said, you know what? All this started. You know where it started? It started at camp. Father, we thank you for camp. May camp take us all to a higher level. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.